Matthew 26. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew 26. We'll begin with verse 47. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 47. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great cloud with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man, seize him." And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and he kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Then they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send more than 12 legion of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" At that hour Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out us as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples left him and fled. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Jesus, that you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We come and approach the season at which we celebrate the entrance of the Christ into this world. And today we look at why he came, as we look at the events in the Garden of Gethsemane. Speak to our hearts and minds today in Jesus' name. Amen. In the last couple of months, we have looked at what it means to follow Jesus. That Jesus, up on the earth, entered into his ministry and he called 12 men from their places of work. And he said, "Leave everything and come and follow me." And we have looked at that call to follow him, and we've applied it to our lives today, how that call continues to go out to come and follow Jesus. We looked at the plans of Judas to betray Jesus. That these 12 men, they didn't understand that Jesus was going to die on a cross. He tried to explain to them what was going to happen, but they couldn't accept it. They were looking for an earthly king, the throne to be restored in Jerusalem. And Jesus, they expected to be the one to take the place on that throne in Jerusalem. And perhaps Judas and his plans to betray Jesus was to accelerate that plan, move Jesus before the Sanhedrin, and he would stand against them and they could in no way overpower his knowledge and wisdom and power. And they would acknowledge he is the Messiah and they would raise him up on the throne. But once they turned Jesus over to Pilate, to the Romans to be crucified, that changed everything and Judas was out. We looked at Peter, that he rebuked Jesus, called him aside and said, "You're not going to die. There's no way. We have seen your power to calm the storms and the seas, to raise the dead, to make the lame walk and the blind to see. These men have no power over you. There is no way you're going to die on a cross in a few days." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan," to Peter. We looked at the garden, where in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus went off alone at the most difficult time, the lowest time in His life on this earth. He was overwhelmed with sorrow, and He prayed with great intensity. And in that prayer He said, if there's any way You can take this cup from Me, perhaps the cup was the crucifixion. If there's any way we can accomplish this in another way, or maybe it was more than the crucifixion, maybe it was the cup of judgment through the Old Testament. The cup referred to judgment, the cup of God's judgment upon sin and the world. Jesus was taking upon Himself. He who knew no sin became our sin. And there on the cross, He was our sin. And He was separated from His heavenly Father because He became sin for that moment on the cross. And maybe it was more that sin that He was taking on, maybe more the separation from the Father than the actual crucifixion. But He surrendered. Not My will, but Yours be done. And He willingly went to the cross. Because He loved you. And He loved me. But He could have called 12 legions of angels. One legion would be 6,000 angels. And He could have called more than 12 legions, more than 72,000 angels. In the garden, when they were coming to arrest Him, He could have called upon those 12 legions, 72,000 angels. When He was on trial and falsely accused, He could have called 72,000 angels. When He was handed over to the Romans and He was ridiculed and He was mocked and He was beaten, He could have called 72,000 angels. As they were placing those nails into His hands and His feet, He could have called 72,000 angels. Now let's think about that. We read in the Old Testament, and in one verse particular, Isaiah 37:36, it says that one angel wiped out the Assyrian army in a night of 185,000. 185,000 soldiers by one angel. So one legion could wipe out an army of 1,110,000,000 soldiers. That's just one legion. And He could have called more than 12 legions of angels. They could have wiped out 13,320,000,000 soldiers. With great ease. That's more than double the earth's population today. In an instant, that power was at His disposal. But He chose you and me instead. He chose to die for you and me. He loved the one who betrayed Him. He loved the crowd gathered with swords and clubs. He loved those who placed Him on false trial. He loved those who beat Him and mocked Him. He loved the crowd that cried, "Crucify Him." He loved the soldiers that nailed Him to that cross. And He who was completely innocent suffered perhaps one of the most excruciating deaths ever devised by man for the guilty. Very unreasonable. But He loved us beyond what's reasonable. And He called us to come and follow Him, to be His follower, to be His disciple. And that didn't mean, I want you to identify with me, I want you to wear my name, but it doesn't matter if you live like me or follow in my ways. No, it matters. So as we look at how Jesus loved beyond what is reasonable, let's see how first He loved the betrayer. In verse 50, He said, "Friend, do what you came to do." Friend, do what you came to do. And He knew. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray Him in the upper room where they participated in the Last Supper. Jesus said, "One of you who dips with me the bread will betray me." And Judas said, "Certainly it's not me." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Yes, it is you." So Jesus knew in advance the plans of Judas. He knew that Judas would betray Him. And here, in the very act of betraying Him, Jesus looked at him and said, "Friend." He called him friend, the betrayer, because Jesus is a friend of sinners. He is a friend. He loved Judas. Even though Judas was turning him over, even though Judas was a thief, He loved Judas. And He would have continued to work in and through Judas, but Judas was the one that gave up. Let me ask you this. Who has betrayed you? Maybe your spouse left you. Maybe your mother or father abandoned you. Maybe a business partner cheated you. Maybe a family member lied and stole from you. Maybe a neighbor. How do you treat the one who treated you that way? You avoid them? You ignore them? You warn others about them? You speak poorly of them? Which would be our natural tendency. But if that is the way you would treat the one who betrayed you, then you don't know Jesus. Because He's called us to be like Him. He's called us to love beyond what's reasonable. To love your enemy. To love your neighbor. To forgive the one who despitefully uses you. To lend without expecting in return. To go the extra mile. How do you love? Jesus loved beyond reason. He loved the betrayer. Not only that, we find in verse 52 as He speaks to Peter, "Put your sword back into its place." Peter was the one who was impulsive. Peter was the one who pulled out the sword and cut off the servant's ear, the servant of the high priest. But Jesus said, "Peter, put it away." And he reached down and he picked up that ear and he put it right back. And it was made whole again. You see, Peter seemed brave at the moment, but Peter wasn't brave. He was a coward. If he would have known that Jesus was going to surrender, that no power beyond this world was going to be used that day, Peter would not have been nearly as impulsive. You see, they arrested Jesus and they took Him. And Peter followed along. And there they placed him on trial before the Sanhedrin. And Peter sat in the court with the soldiers and listened. And a servant girl came up to Peter and said, You're one of them. You were with Jesus. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not one of them. And then out in the gateway, another girl came up and said, I've seen you. I've seen you with this Jesus, the one on trial. I've seen you. He said, I don't even know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. A little while later, a small group came up to them and said, hey, weren't you one of them? I'm telling you, I don't even know the man. Jesus, just as with Judas, spoke to Peter earlier and said, before the rooster crows three times, you will betray me. Oh no, I wouldn't betray you. I will go with you to the death. But Peter, realizing if he acknowledged he was with him, he might be on a cross next to him. He was a coward. It reminds me of the man who came to the preacher and said, preacher, I have to confess, my wife and I, we have been fighting every day for the last 30 years. He said, really? Every day for the last 30 years? He said, yes. Did you fight today? He said, yes, we fought this morning already. Well, how did it end up? He said, well, she came crawling to me on her hands and knees. Well, what did she say? She said, come out from underneath that bed and fight like a man, you coward. Now, that's an old one. You've heard that one before. Peter was a coward. How about you? Have you denied Jesus? Maybe in the last few days. Maybe it wasn't with your words, but with your actions. Oh no, I'm not one of them. But Jesus loved Peter, just as he loved Judas. And he would have still used Judas, but Judas gave up, as I said. But Peter was still used by God in a very powerful way, even after all this. He said to Judas, friend, do what you came for. He said to Peter, put your sword back, knowing he didn't have the courage to carry that through. And to the crowd, he said, all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. The scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament, has been written over a period of 1,500 years by more than 40 different authors, but yet there's a singleness of thought that flows all the way through the scriptures. 450 years before Jesus entered into this world, the Old Testament was complete. 450 years before He came, and it already spoke about His coming. It spoke about John, who prepared the way. It spoke of the crucifixion and the resurrection. It spoke of the purpose of the Messiah, yet they missed it. They didn't get it. There has been no book scrutinized like the Bible. There has been no book tested like the Bible, yet it has withstood the test. You can bet your life on it. And Jesus is speaking to the crowd, the crowds that came to arrest Him. And yes, there were those there that loved Him and followed Him, but the majority were coming with clubs and swords. And He said, I surrender. This is the will of the Father. This is to fulfill all you've studied and read, to fulfill the prophets. And He willingly went to the cross for you and me. because he loved that crowd. Who does that? Who does that for someone who betrays him? Who does that for one who denies him? Who does that for the crowd that turns against him? Jesus and those who are with him know what it means to love beyond reason. Ernest Gordon writes about his time in a prison camp. He was a British officer in their army. He was captured by the Japanese and forced to work in a camp where they worked in the heat of the jungle, clearing a path for a railroad and building a bridge over the River Kwai. And he tells in his book about those who would fall of exhaustion, but they would be beaten to death. And that 80,000 lost their lives in that prison camp. He said, there came a point in there where we were living literally in the valley of the shadow of death. Death was with us. Death was all around us, day after day after day. And we had a choice. And we began to see the distinction between good and evil and the distinction between living and death. And we realized that those who were bitter and those who were jealous and those who were selfish and those who were anger and those who had hatred were the ones who weren't living. They were just merely existing. But those who trusted in the Almighty God and His Son Jesus, we found that there was life in spite of all this. That we were more than just existing when we loved and we forgave and we extended grace and we were self-sacrificing and we were taking care of each other and we were serving even the guards and the enemy. And he writes, there came a day when we were all released, when the war was over. Forced into boxcars of a train. And at one point, that train stopped next to a train coming the other direction. And there we sat, and in the boxcar on the other side, it was filled with what seemed to be discarded Japanese soldiers, suffering and dying. The guards tried to hold us back, but we took our little supply bags. We pulled out our canteens and our medical kits. And we went to the boxcar next door and began to tend to the wounds of our enemy. The ones 15 months earlier we would have despised and hated, but we overcame that hate. We learned what it meant to love beyond what most would seem to be reasonable. And there is the secret. There is the key. There is the life. And we learn to love in spite of all the mess. Heavenly Father, You showed us. You taught us. You delivered us. You modeled it for us, loving beyond reason, beyond what the world would say is normal, reasonable. Lead us this week to love beyond reason, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to love those, even though they betray us, we would love them. Even though someone cheats us, we love them. who go to our, out of our way. Those who may betray us, despise us, but yet we would still love them beyond reason. Thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a decision to make, what